Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I am your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, we're looking at something that's really missing in trauma work, which is the awareness and utilization of our own biological rhythms for trauma recovery. Things like our circadian rhythm, digestive rhythm, sleep rhythm. There's all kinds of biological rhythms that get disrupted with trauma, and we get to align with them, utilize them for our trauma recovery. This episode is important to me because I myself have been there. My body got to a place where it was so burdened down with trauma that my biological rhythms were very imbalanced, very disrupted. Having trouble sleeping, my digestive system was completely off, my hormones, my mood, everything was off. So this aspect of being able to share with you what's going on in our body, specifically the biological rhythms, and how we can use them for helping us with trauma recovery. So one question that we will answer in this episode is, how can we use our own body's natural biological rhythms for our trauma healing journey? To help me answer this question and explore this rhythms of recovery topic is Dr. Leslie Korn. She is someone whom I've had tremendous respect for and whom I have learned so much along my own journey from her writings. She has been in private practice now for 40 years, integrating psychotherapy and integrative medicine, and even introduced somatic psychotherapy at Harvard University, where she is a clinical fellow in the Department of Psychiatry. She wrote a book called Rhythms of Recovery back in 2012, and this was a guide for me. This was one of the major resources that I used as I was figuring out what was going on in my body and how I could get my life back. Here's what you'll learn in this episode: what happens to our body's biological rhythms after trauma, how those natural rhythms can be used to help us for trauma recovery, the role of allostatic load in trauma, a big missing piece in trauma recovery that we need to bring back, which rhythm we can utilize that is more effective than antidepressants, and finally, the important rhythm of relationships and community. As we talk about rhythms, I want to first mention that working with rhythms comes after the essential first step of the trauma healing journey. Working with rhythms comes after an initial stabilization phase. I talk about the essential sequence and how the first step of that essential sequence is actually establishing a felt sense of safety. We can't work with our rhythms and have them help us until we have laid down this foundation of regulation and can create that felt sense of safety for ourselves. This is not something that I knew how to do at first, and so this is what I teach people now, and I guide them through that stabilization phase through the foundational journey, 6 weeks online, sequential somatic and parts work, so that people are able to then safely do the deeper work, like working with their rhythms and their biology. It is in the Biology of Stress, Rest, and Resilience course where we look specifically at working with our stress response and how to align with our rhythms, the rhythms of rest and the rhythms that happen at our cellular level, and how we can align with our rhythms in order to actually truly accomplish that completion of our stress responses and be more resilient as a result. So with that, Dr. Korn, rhythms of recovery, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think you've identified exactly what happens with trauma, is that trauma disrupts our rhythms, and it disrupts our biological rhythm, our, as you name, the stress response. It disrupts our ability to react to stress. It takes us into either an overreaction or an underreaction, and that does have a biological substrate to it. It disrupts our physiological rhythms, the rhythm of digestion, where we're chewing. Are we chewing at the right rhythm? Are we chewing faster? Maybe we're just throwing food into our mouth and we swallow it whole. We don't get into that rhythm at all of breathing and chewing and digesting. And then it hits our belly and our belly is frozen. And then we're constipated, or maybe the belly lets loose and we've got diarrhea. That is all peristaltic rhythm. We are governed by rhythms. We may stay up too late at night and think we're a night owl. And yet, in fact, it is that disrupted circadian rhythm of our sleep-wake cycle. And so I think, and you made such a good point about some of us still being in stabilization, I think we often always return to stabilization. There's always going to be some reason as trauma survivors that we have to go back and re-regulate. Things can throw us off our rhythm. And so I think that was the point of this book in general, which is to give rhythms their due, to say trauma disrupts our rhythm. And so many of our physical and emotional challenges come out of being like on that seesaw of the back and forth. And how do we find ways to balance that seesaw? And even know when we get a little bit off, oh, I recognize that and I can come back.
One of the key elements that you bring in is around this idea of community and social connection. There is a stress that comes with isolation and the stress of loneliness. And yet that is one of the disruptions that trauma can cause in our life is we isolate, and it can be overwhelming to be in community and to try to have that connection. And so in light of the stress response, tell us about allostatic load, the role of social connection, and how might this science of social connection actually be applicable to our lives today as it relates to our stress response?
Wow, that's a big, big one. And I love it because I think it really goes to the core of connection, that trauma is a disconnection. The experience of trauma disconnects us from others, but it disconnects us from ourselves. It contributes to dissociation, where we don't live inside of ourselves oftentimes in an integrated way. And I think then the trauma survivor can feel either overwhelmed by others and therefore isolate, or have an opposite reaction, is only be with others, even if it's dissatisfying or even if it's involved in self-harming behaviors or substance use disorders. So again, there's that seesaw experience. Unregulated connecting experiences are often very challenging for the trauma survivor. Therefore, I love the idea of a structured ritual approach to regulating our rhythms. And we know, what is the definition of ritual? It's really something that's rhythmic and repetitive. And if we look to our ancestors, we saw that our ancestors routinely got together. We try to now in modern life, but I don't think we succeed the way we could. We do when we gather in church or in a mosque or in yoga class, or maybe in some kind of other cultural group or even book groups. But I think if we look to what our ancestors taught us, they taught us to come together, to breathe together, to drum together, to sing together, to move together, and that there is a physiological mechanism where we entrain the bioenergetic physiology of the body. We know that the energy system and the nervous system entrains as the group. And I call it almost a grounding rod, because when you have a group support for exploring your consciousness, for exploring your healing, you have your feet on the ground, your feet are on the earth, and the group supports you and it's safe. But it allows you to explore the going out and the coming in, the being in your body, but recognizing the ways in which we leave our body to gain greater consciousness. And I think it's an important piece around social connection that for the trauma survivor who's experiencing dissociativity, it's not that that goes away. We gain control over it. And the group ritual, the safe group, helps us live in our body, but also safely move in and out of our body and gain that control. And I think that for me is an essence of the power of at least group social connection in contrast to the dyad.
Thank you for speaking to that group co-regulation. Being able to both notice my body and the collective group is a wonderful rhythm to reestablish after only being able to do one or the other. Because of hypervigilance, I'm only focused on others, or because I'm in the collapse, I'm only focused on myself. That's why it's been so important for me to lead individuals and teach practitioners in a group and teach them the principles for how to create safe groups, bringing this into their foundation as they build and create self-regulation, yet within a group with that help of co-regulation. There have been many who have hesitated to take their foundational journey with me because it is with a group. They have had group experiences in the past that were dysregulating. I have too. And yet we can't throw it all out and say we want to stay alone and just privately work with a therapist. Community is one of the most important healing aspects of the trauma healing journey. We just haven't known how to create a safe group to facilitate that. Given my own challenges with group work in the past, it was very important to me to create a safe group. And I put a lot of thought into the design of how to do that and on an online course. It has meant a lot to me that those going through my courses and are in my private membership say that this is the safest trauma healing group online that they have found. And that says a lot because I know that there are a lot of groups out there. Yet, even with how I create that safety, it is through the ritual and the rhythm that you've been talking about, from the ritual of sharing, the five agreements I have for groups, the rhythm of our class schedule that becomes predictable, consistent. Few are talking about the social community aspect of trauma recovery, and thank you for bringing that into this talk on rhythms. It is like restoring our rhythms of relationship with others and the world in a safe way. I will include the link in the show notes for the foundational journey for those who are interested in that, and they can see there the group work and the rhythm of the schedule and how it's designed to support this repair of the community and social rhythm that we need for trauma healing. Leslie, a big piece of the concept of the biology of trauma is allostatic load, which is contributed to by the disruption of our biological rhythms.
What we recognize is allostatic load is what we think of as the wear and tear on the body, mind, and spirit from being overloaded with stress. Maybe we go through a lot of adverse childhood events. We cope, we get through it. Maybe there's some wonderful person, a teacher or a caregiver who helps us, even a dog or an animal friend who helps us survive. And then we go to school and we're stressed and we have our first job and we're stressed, but we keep going on and on. And especially as women, we are taught to be resilient, we're taught to survive. At a certain point, that load of stress overwhelms us. We hit the wall. It could be when we get into perimenopause. It could be if we're in infertility or endometriosis. Something happens, and that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like I coped and coped and coped, and now I can't cope anymore. And that's often what brings us into therapy, which is a good thing. But I think that's what we can consider with allostatic load is everybody has her breaking point. Everybody has a certain limit of the stress that we can take. And then we have to engage in that level of recovery. I talk about measuring allostatic load, that it can be measured emotionally, physiologically, biology. We might do a 4-point cortisol salivary test to measure our cortisol levels, our stress hormones. We might measure our A1C, which measures an average of our glucose management, because after all, our glucose management is governed by the adrenal glands, our stress hormones. And then we end up craving sugar and feeding our body sugar and refined carbohydrates when we are stressed. So it becomes a vicious cycle. So I think raising awareness of all of these points that we can intercede with ourselves step by step, being kind and gentle and compassionate, recognizing, oh, this is a measure of allostatic load. Oh, insomnia is a measure of allostatic load. There are a lot of different measures that we can tackle step by step as we return to our balanced rhythmic cell.
I love this. I'm developing an assessment of measuring the trauma burden and allostatic load through one's sensations and symptoms. It's important to measure the burden on our body. For those who take advantage of a biology of trauma health coaching session, we can look at labs and use those to help measure the trauma burden. And it's so much information we can get from our body when we look at sensations, symptoms, and conditions. So that's why I'm developing this assessment. I'll have links for both the health coaching sessions and the body trauma burden assessment in the show notes. I'm not quite done with that assessment at the time of this recording, but as soon as it is done, I will put that into the show notes as well. And movement is a big piece of reestablishing rhythms. I mean, there is a rhythm of movement throughout our day. And yet I would say that in our Western world, we have become sedentary. We have lost our rhythms of movement. What would be the importance of movement, and what type of movement are we talking about?
Yeah, you are speaking my language now. I think it's the missing piece. The missing piece in trauma recovery. We've got psychotherapy, we've got nutrition, and we've got movement. We know through research that actually, I always joke, if my clients got an hour of aerobic exercise every day, I'd be out of business. That is how powerful. We know that aerobic exercise increases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which we know is often diminished as a result of trauma. We know that trauma and the flooding of cortisol can shrink the brain over time. That contributes to depression and dementia and reduces BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a natural antidepressant. So what we want to do at least a little bit every day is get that BDNF moving upward. And the wonderful thing we know from research is that it's never too late to do that. And one of the best forms of aerobic exercise to do that is a high intensity interval training. And you speak about our modern life, and it's true. And you can do this in 5 to 10 minutes, 2 or 3 times a week. And it is one of the most powerful ways to restore brain function. It's not going to be for everyone. I love water aerobics. You're combining community, getting together with the same group a few times a week, having fun, moving water, the rhythm of the water, the yumminess of how the water makes us feel, and we're moving and we're getting our heart rate up. And when we get our heart rate up, we're pumping oxygen to our brain and we are feeling better. It's actually our number one anti-anxiety method is movement, particularly aerobics. And you mentioned stabilization early in our conversation. I find that meditation often misses the mark during the stabilization period. It's often a little too soon. What people really respond better to is kind of an intense workout, whether it's aerobics. I particularly am a fan of weights, as you mentioned. We know that weights also have a profound effect on BDNF. Weight work, we know the more muscle you have, the better your mood. And in order to have muscle, you also need to eat enough protein. So it's like a domino effect of how we construct the restoration of our rhythms and our health and well-being.
And this is the mind-body connection that you have helped pioneer and establish, as we can't just do something in isolation. It really is looking at everything. And who would think that bringing in movement or building muscle mass and thus eating enough protein would actually have such an influence on our mental health? And yet the studies have come through and shown that. I mean, even just in the last year and two, there have been several studies that have come out showing the effectiveness of movement, of exercise compared to antidepressants. It's more effective. And so knowing the science of this, this is where I get excited, because this is stuff that we can take home and we can actually do something different with our life today, with our routine tomorrow, with our schedule, so that we can be really supplying everything that our mind and body needs for healing itself. And there's so much that the body can do for itself when it just has what it needs.
Absolutely. And the neat thing about it too is that it doesn't have to be just one way. We can really say, this is what I love to do, or this is what I'd like to explore. And it really is about tuning into our needs, because after all, isn't that what trauma does? Is it negates one's needs? And so our path is to really tune in to say, well, I don't really feel like going for a walk right now, but I would love to do downward dog, or I do want to do Shavasana, or I want to pick up a soup can and lift it up 10 times. Or the key is really tuning in to what is my inner self asking for, and then being able to go answer that need. I think that's the essence.
Wonderful. I want to thank you for your insights, your time, the work that you've done in the world, who you are in the world. And I'm feeling a lot of gratitude right now.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. Thank you for a wonderful conversation.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. We explored how trauma disrupts our natural biological rhythms, but we also saw how intentionally supporting these rhythms can help regulate our nervous system and help us on the trauma healing journey. I will have some links for you in the show notes. I will include the essential sequence guide for those that want to review the three essential steps for building our foundation and for the trauma healing journey. I will include the link for the foundational journey, the schedule for the Biology of Trauma courses after that foundational journey, as well as a link for a one-on-one Biology of Trauma health coaching session. I will also have the link for the body trauma assessment as soon as I have that done. There is a comments section as well on the show notes for you to leave comments, which I would love for you to do with this episode. If you would like to dig deeper into this topic of biological rhythms, episodes 28 and 56 are ones that you will want to look at. Episode 28 was on sleep, practical tips for better sleep for trauma recovery. Sleep is so important, and so we want to look at that. And episode number 56 is on hormones. Hormones being a portal into our stored trauma and one of our important biological rhythms that get disrupted and that we can use to help us on our trauma healing journey. To further support your biology and reestablishing rhythms, you may want to consider the supplement Trimagnesium Sleep, something that you will be able to use in order to help restore that circadian rhythm. And you also will want to look at just taking magnesium in general. Magnesium is one of the most needed nutrients for all the millions of reactions happening inside our body. It's also one of the most common nutrient deficiencies. And our body cannot reestablish biological rhythms with a magnesium deficiency. Finally, I'll invite you again to take 30 seconds and leave a comment for this episode. Again, just click the link for the show notes if you are not listening to this podcast episode on the show notes. And the comment section is near the bottom of that page. And I look forward to seeing what you have to say about this episode. I'm Dr. Amy, your host for this Biology Trauma podcast. And until next episode, lots of love. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe. We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey. And you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars. Share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact, as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.